Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Pokharna Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Desa.
Thank you, Neera. Good day, everyone, and a warm welcome to Pokharna Limited's Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Gautam Chand Jain, the Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Paras Kumar Jain, the Chief Executive Officer of Pokharna Engineered Stone Limited. I trust most of you have gone through the presentation and the results mailed to you earlier. In the interest of time, we would be happy to start with Q&A immediately after this. I'd like to hand over to the moderator to open the question and the floor for question and answers. Over to you, Neera.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking your question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is regarding the margins. You know, historically, always on the quad segment, we used to do in the range of 28%-32% margins. I mean, this quarter it was very abnormal 20% margin, despite from last couple of quarters we have been saying that the raw material prices are coming down. I think in Q3 we have also launched some of the value-added products. What led to this erosion in the margin? Is it like the we have sold less value-added and more of a basic product, or we sold out some inventory at a lower prices during the end of the year?
Okay. I think on the margin side, we should take a view actually on the annual basis. If you look at the gross profit margin for the FY22, it was around 45% range. At the end of the year, this year, which is FY23, which we are talking, is around 40%. Similarly, we had EBITDA of around 29% for the whole year of last year, which was 26% for this year. Typically, we have seen about 10% decline in the margin, both on the gross level and at the EBITDA level. Predominantly, if you look at the beginning of the year, we had challenges surrounding the raw material prices. At the end of the year, we had some low-value products being sold. That's the reason we saw that decline. I think we are confident of maintaining the margins on EBITDA side between 25%-30%.
Okay. Okay. My second question is regarding the inventory level in the U.S. How do you see the demand scenario over the next two, three quarters? Also, you know, prior to the anti-dumping announcement, there was an inventory buildup. Are you seeing that the inventories are coming down at the store levels in U.S.?
In the U.S., the demands have been like not constant across the states. We've seen some states where the business is steady, but then there are some states where business is on a rollercoaster ride. Inventory buildup has happened in channel, but some places there is an easing out of the inventory, but at some places the inventory is still the major concern. In addition to the inventory, in quantity terms, the value terms is a concern because the shipping cost came down very steeply in the second half of the year compared to the first half of the year. Trade is still holding on to that inventory, and many of them are actually liquidating at a negative margin there to make sure that they provide room for the new products coming in. What we are now seeing is that the demand is coming from the new products which are getting introduced, and the old product still seems to be there in the pipeline in the inventory out in the U.S.
Okay, and one last question. So, you know, our Q3 was very bad, let's say almost 405 crore of revenue in quads, and then we see some bit of recovery from that level. Now do you see that although to reach again that 180-200 crore kind of level may take some time, do you see that quarter on quarter the performance will slightly improve, maybe slow at slower pace?
So I think we should be looking at quarter on quarter and talk like getting an annual guidance today would be a little far-sighted. But I think on quarter on quarter, we seem, at the margin levels and at the PAT level, we seem to be comfortable that things should be in a right spot.
Okay. And one last thing. On the granite side, this quarter, the performance was quite good. Do you think this sustainable and how do you see demand there?
Actually, in granite, as we told you, our primary focus is still on the quarrying side. And there are always challenges of shipping of the material from the ports. So if the shipping happens, the numbers improve, and if the shipping is taking more time, again the numbers come down. So fortunately, right now it is now eased. So we see that more or less we will maintain the same numbers now.
Okay. Okay. Fine. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Gupta from Bohir Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Sir, in the last call, which was held on 20th Feb, you had said the gross margins are sustainable. But sir, as we can see, they fell by 1500 basis points sequentially. So given that by the time last call happened, certain period of Q4 was already over, and considering that we are a B2B export business and have visibility on pricing. So, sir, what can we make out of this quarter versus what was said in the past?
Okay. So, I just answered that question. See, you have to look at the gross margin on the annual basis, because there could be even 1 month which can actually impact the margin substantially, because if you are selling a thickness versus the cost which are lower side of it. So as I said when I previously answered a question, last year we had a gross profit in the range of around 45%, and at the end of this year it's 40%. We believe that this range of 40 to 45% can be maintained in the FY24. Similarly, on the EBITDA side, we believe that the range of 25 to 30% can be maintained. We are pretty confident about it.
Okay, sir. And sir, how would you, and was there any one-off in this quarter in Q3 or in Q4?
No, we don't do any distress sale. We are not in that type of business model. We take value for a product, but then depending upon how the market is reacting, what market is asking, the realizations can vary. So actually it would be better to look at an annual picture than being, especially in this type of scenario where you see a little demand uncertainty, to look at an annual picture than being influenced by a quarter.
Okay, sir. And any color on the mix, like the low end and the premium end, like any color on that?
I can give you a little different answer to it. What I can tell you is that now close to 15% of our sales is coming from the new designs which we have introduced in last 6 months. So this trend is only going to go up. As the design, new design gets introduced, the value realization should be better in relative terms.
Okay, sir. And sir, like any typical price point you would like to mention, like what is like per square foot price less than, like what is those ranges you take for the mix, like the low end, the mid end and the premium end?
See, the low end products can be at half of the $10 basically, and the upper end can be about $10. So that's how the mix can vary. So you can imagine a $5 product versus a $12 product. So what level of realization different we are talking.
And any progress in the new geographies we were planning to enter?
Yeah, so actually for FY23, if you see, we've started France as a geography, we've started Mexico as a geography, we started Russia as a geography, and We've also added some distributors in the US also as a market. So we are entering the new geographies, whether it is Mexico, Russia, France, and we are working on seeing where else we can penetrate.
And what would be the saliency on these?
Even Canada. Sorry, I did not mention Canada. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
The saliency on these markets in Q4, is it like above 10% or below that?
They are in less than 10% range, but these are all promising markets. See, as I told in one of my last calls, which you mentioned, 20th Feb, typically this is like a biological cycle. It takes about 9 to 12 months before the customer actually matures and starts reordering. Because by the time the material, we meet them, we present the samples, they make selections, the first orders go, arrive, they look at it, introduce in the program, and then the recycle order starts. So typically it takes 9 to 12 months before they really catch up. But these are all promising territories and promising customers to our knowledge.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Aman Vij from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. My first question is if you can give an update on the domestic market side.
Yeah, so on the domestic market side, as I have been telling in the last call, we've started penetrating the K&B part in India market. So we are there in around 120 stores right now in India. We've also done some large institutional projects like Adobe, Salesforce, JP Morgan, and we're doing many more such projects currently as well. And apart from that, we've executed one of the other large technology IT park coming up in Hyderabad. So while the sales are still in single digit, but I think the ramp up has been good on the institutional side of the business, and we would be taking aggressive steps to penetrate much more than what we have done in last few years than what we would be doing next couple of years.
Sure, sir. My second question is, it was heartening to know that 15% of the sales are coming from new designs.
Aman, your voice is coming a little muffled.
Yeah. My second question was, it was heartening to know that 15% of the sales are coming from new products. So do you think for FY24 and FY25, this number can be as high as 30 to 40% also?
Yeah, I think that is a strategy basically, that one of the ways to insulate is to bring fresh products, new products, never seen before products to the market and maintain that leadership position. Like I would invite you to look at our designs which are on the website too, and then compare to what our competition in US is doing. And of course, India, there is not much of a design trend which is there to compare. That's the reason I'm giving you reference of US and probably some European markets to understand how different we have gone on the design side of it. So we believe that design is the innovation for the future, and that's where we are focusing on. And it's quite possible that numbers can accelerate and become double. But we have to take it at a time. So, but we are pretty excited about what we are doing and the scope it has to improve the business and the realizations as we move forward.
Sure, sir. So what was the utilization of the new plant?
New plant is still, because of the demand situation, if you remember last time also we've said that it's close to around 50 to 60% bracket. But again, also one more factor which we have to keep in mind is that as we introduce new designs, the cycle times are relatively longer, because when we are perfecting the designs and we are making some new product development, we tend to take more times to make sure that the product comes out good. So I think once the product stabilization period is over, this can be normalized to around 65%.
Sure. So, can you give an update on this? There was this anti-dumping duty benefit which we were supposed to get compared to peers. Basically, they were being imposed more duties. So, have you started seeing the benefits of that?
See, basically what happened is that while of course we are at 0% anti-dumping duty and at 2.3% countervailing duty, the trade had typically around 161.5% preliminary duty coming on for the quartz from India except Pokharna. In the final, Department of Commerce took a different approach and reduced that duty to around 3%. And the U.S. petitioners have actually gone to the court saying that this could not have been allowed. So actually the spillover demand or whatever we call it of this anti-dumping on other participants has not been seen by us yet because department reversed its decision. But then the matter is now in the Court of International Trade there in the U.S.
Sure, sir. Final question from my side. Any big customers that we have added in the last 6 months to 1 year?
Yeah, so as I just said that we've added certain new geographies, so I can't name the customers for certain specific reasons. But I think some of these customers are prominent names in those markets and we believe there is a solid potential in the years to come.
Sure, I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. And my questions are primarily on the overseas market.
Sir, sorry to interrupt you, sounding a little distant.
Okay, is it better now?
Yes, sir, slightly better.
Okay, so my questions are primarily on the overseas market. In fiscal year 24, what do you think these markets can contribute to our top line?
What do you mean by over? Sorry, I didn't get your question because majority of our sales is to the overseas market. So,
sorry, that's right. I meant non-US market.
Okay, non-US market. Yeah, definitely. The non-US market, what I'm talking about right now, of course, they will never be close to the US market for the obvious reasons. But then they have a good potential to probably diversify or insulate a bit of concentration risk.
Right. So in this year, you think it will be more than 10% or more than 20% kind of mix?
I think to begin with, probably it would be close to between 7 to 9%. And then as we mature the relationship, probably it has the potential to get into the double digit.
Okay. Wonderful. And then the strategy here is to still go with the basic product, or are we focus more on the value products in these markets?
The majority of the new designs what we are developing, I think between over 80% of the new designs which we have launched are at the high end of the pyramid. So the basic product is only just to make sure that you are able to give a complete bouquet to the customers and they are not going here and there to meet certain part of the demand. The predominant focus now is to get into a value-added high-end products. But then there would be some times where we will have to oblige for obvious business reasons and look at an overall picture than being just influenced by a particular thing.
Okay. So it's fair to assume that in these non-US markets, majority of the sales will be coming from the value-added. Is that a fair statement?
See, basically, overall, we are focusing on value-added process products, not just U.S. or non-U.S. But then as you enter this particular geographies, you will have to go with both the portfolios. As the relationship and the market matures, we typically get into the high value-added products. So what I said by high value-added products, predominantly focus would be on the U.S. to begin with, because that's where the large consumption is. And as the relationships in the other market increases, we will get the value-added products also moving out there.
Got it. And these non-US markets, do they have the same kind of DP issues that are there in the US? I'm just curious about the structure of these markets.
No, because I don't think any of these markets where we currently are has a manufacturing base of any of the quartz manufacturers. So the dumping or the duty typically arises where there is a impact with the local producers.
Right. Okay.
So these are not the markets where we have seen
Sorry, no, please finish your thought, yeah.
So we have not seen any tariff issues to our knowledge, and at least in the recent past or in the history, there has never been any tariff on those markets. Unless there is some trade-related issue coming out. Otherwise, there is nothing specifically which we are aware of.
Got it. And lastly, do you see Chinese manufacturers also being competitive in these new markets?
So, in the other markets, you are saying, the non-US markets.
Non-US markets.
So basically, China is everywhere. Where is not China? You just tell me.
Right. But what I'm saying is, how competitive are they, or how competitive are we to them?
No, we compete with them not just on the pricing. We compete with them on different things, whether it is quality, relationship, service, the design and everything. But then there are some products where we will also have to, you know, take a burn, because if we are going as a portfolio, there are some products where we believe that Chinese are far competitive than we are. But then overall, to maintain the relationship and looking at the larger picture, we do sometime compete with them.
Got it. Thank you so much, and I'll come back in the queue for more questions.
Thank you, Rajesh.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anuj Sharma from 3M Investments. Sorry, M3 Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. See, my questions are on the higher end and value. So in terms of demand scenario, is the lower end product in higher demand versus the higher end design products? That's question number one.
Okay. So basically today we are seeing that the higher end of the higher end seems to be relatively catching up than the lower end completely. But then a lower end is also moving, but it's not getting an incremental growth. The lower end is moving because with this inflation and all that in place, the builders typically will have to honor whatever they have put in their programs as part of their offering. So that is lower end is predominantly moving in commercial and this multifamily type of business. But I think what we are seeing and what we are focusing is on the higher end of the pyramid in terms of realization.
Okay. Okay. So then if the demand is strong, then it is just a matter of us introducing more and more designs. So what does it take for us to ramp up the number of designs? So is it a function of the engineering or designer capability, or, you know, we are working at the maximum range which could at this point of time?
Pokarna has over 10,000 design its portfolio. I think very few companies in the world would have that type of library. So we know exactly how to produce a design in the shortest possible time. So even if you look at our recent introduction of our 20 design, we have... Am I audible?
Yeah, yeah. You are, but a bit low.
Okay, sorry. So, introducing new designs is not a big challenge for us with the experience what we have gained. We have introduced some designs in as low as 2 weeks, and some designs do take 2 months as well. So, but we have a very strong and dedicated R&D team at both the units, and we work constantly with our partners across the world and develop the designs based on the inputs what we get, because design is basically influenced by what is happening to the decor world outside, what colors are moving, what colors people are liking, what is happening to the appliances industry, what is happening to the interior decor industry, what paints are getting sold, and what are the natural stones which are short in supply. There are several factors which are taken into consideration before developing a design. So, but I think, let me conclude saying that we have a robust R&D plan in place, and it's backed by right people.
Okay, so if I were to just rephrase it, we are saying that we have designs and the outlook is good. It is just a matter of time that segment starts increasing and from a 15% to much higher level.
Yeah, that's possible.
I just would like to add that when we do the complicated designs, the cycle time is more for those designs. So that's the only bottleneck, that we'll have less productivity but more realization.
Okay, okay. And one last question. Probably this question you would have answered in the past, but just see our granite, at one point of time we used to do over 150 crores and it's 60 crores right now, 57, 58. Do we believe that there could be any scenario in which we could cross 100 and higher, or you think we are operating at the best range possible? Some outlook on the granite would be helpful. Thank you so much.
Let me give you a proper brief. Today the market has moved to quartz throughout the world, and the granite demand remains for more of outdoor use. And unfortunately in India we don't have any new colors coming up in the quarries. So there is no newness in the product range. So I don't think there will be a huge growth possibility, and then again we have to look at the profit margins on whatever business we do. So the competition in granite is largely in these low-end products with multiple quarries operating and multiple factories coming up in Indian market, or compared to the last when we were doing in those range of the numbers. So I don't think it will be feasible or it will be profitable to look at that kind of numbers, because even if we do the number, there will be no profitability. So we wouldn't like to get into a business where the profits are not possible.
Got it. Got it. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nitin Gandhi from KIFS Trade Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my question. Four markets which you have added, can you, based on the product designs and other studies, what do you think could be the potential size of opportunity for us in each of this market?
All the markets which I mentioned to you are the markets where quartz penetration is on the higher side. So these are not the markets where you still see the laminates or natural stone being in vogue. So these markets have a very higher level of quartz acceptance. So there are, I think, a couple of markets are actually far in terms of their reach than the couple of other markets. So I think, as I said to one of the previous questions, at a fully matured relationship, we think between 7 to 9% can be something on our overall revenue is what we can add there. And as the relationship goes to the next phase, we'll get into a double digit on our total sales out of there.
No, I'm checking the opportunity size over there, not your...
Basically, if you look at the opportunity size, those markets could be anywhere between overall what they are importing in terms of between anything between $50 to $75 million. And typically, we are expecting that out of that $70 million, we should be able to get at least couple million dollar in each of those four markets.
Thanks. And assuming a 30% business coming from value-added product 2-3 years down the line, what could be potential revenue from our total capacity as on date?
Depending if you go back to our previous discussions on it, if we have a right product mix in terms of 2cm, 3cm thickness, right realization mix in terms of high-end designs getting at least 30% plus number into our overall realization, and then the cut-to-size business, which is the value-added business, what we talk about,
yeah,
also makes at least 20% of the overall sales realization. Then we believe that between 850 to 1,000 crores is something which we can achieve if all these metrics are on dot.
Yeah. Okay. Wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. First question is regarding the debt repayment plan. So, or let's say in FY24, what kind of repayment we are targeting?
Sir, last year actually we paid 57 crores, 39 of long term and 17 crores of short term. And this year actually minimum liability is 45 crores, but we do actually more than that.
Okay.
Okay. And my second question is, so obviously right now we have enough capacity, but let's say over next 2 years, 2.5 years, at some point of time, we'll reach the maximum capacity utilization also. So let's say next, whenever we decide on the CAPEX, is it fair to assume that it will be far lesser than what we did the last CAPEX, and also the timeline will be much shorter than the last CAPEX?
See, I would like to tell you something. In this product profile, capacity utilization is subject to market demand of the products that we make, because the cycle time varies from product to product. And regarding the capacity expansion, I also will never be able to tell you precisely when are we going to do a capacity expansion, or is it going to be after full utilization of the capacity. Maybe intermediate we do some new expansion which is required by addition of some equipments to introduce new products in the market. So whenever there is a frozen plan for addition of capital equipment, we will let you know. But then it will all definitely depend from time to time how the product demand changes. If the high end product demand is more, then maybe we do some additional equipment required to produce those kind of products.
Okay. No, yeah, so my question was because, when this new CAPEX started, there was almost a three and a half year of gap where, our old plant was at the field capacity and the new plant came almost after three and a half years gap. So can we avoid that in the future? Let's say, brownfield or new equipment needed, we can do it in much shorter time than what it has happened previously.
Yeah, I think we have to keep in mind, as Mr. Jain just said, that we are actually driven by market and customer as to what they are asking. So there are different options in the way we expand today. Either do a complete capacity expansion, which will add typically to your square footage going up, or do a design enhancement capability where your realizations go up. So in the past, we had relatively, probably a little stretched time because of COVID-related challenges, if you see. There was COVID also in between. So you had, and everything is coming from Italy, and there are several agencies who are tied in setting up a plant of this size and scale, which is world's one of the largest single line today in the world. And that was one of the reasons as to why a little stretch happened. And secondly, is definitely that the infrastructure what we have developed in Hyderabad is actually equipped to add the second line immediately. So today, if we have to order something, and we don't need to do any development of land and building. Land is ready, building is ready. We just have to get the equipment and put it. So the gestation period from the time we order under the normal conditions to the time we start would be far lower than what it would have been otherwise in the normal circumstances.
Okay. And one last thing on the, so you mentioned that, it takes some time for reordering in the newer market. So we have added Russia also. So, and just to understand, say, many of the US and the European guys may not be exporting to the Russia. Can we get a slightly faster benefit over there, or it's in a normal market?
I would say it would be late, because what is the transit time from India to Russia? It's over 4 months now. So by the time I send the material to the buyer, the time the customer is receiving the material, it is over 4 months. So imagine 5 months ke baad usko material milega. He has to introduce the material in the market, do some marketing, get the feedback and reorder. And again, he puts an order back to me. By the time he gets the second consignment of the material, it will be the complete 1 year. So actually, while there is a good potential in the Russia market, the challenge is the shipping today. That there is no direct lines which are shipping to Russia. You have to go via Middle East. And that takes unbelievably long time.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Devendra Singh from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I am audible.
Yeah, Yeah, Devendra, you are audible.
Yeah, hi. Hi, good morning, Paras. Good morning, Gautam. Paras, my question to you is that, you know, if you look at the quarters till December 2021, never in your history you have gone below 65% gross margin. Okay? And this is despite the fact that the new designs are just coming into the market. Now, what you are currently saying is that the current gross margins, you know, these new designs are likely to have a much higher realization. I understand that, you know, it may have a different time to manufacture, but my understanding is my understanding right that the gross margins in these products are much higher than what you normally had with the earlier products? That is question number one. And secondly, if that being so, then why are we not looking at the cost margins moving up significantly higher when you yourself are looking at, you know, this new range getting a 15% current allocation moving up to 30% going forward? So, I mean, whatever we've talked to customers, your competitors, they are saying that the designs are wonderful and that these are nowhere being present by anywhere else, by any other competitor. I mean, what are we missing here? Can you please elaborate? And I come to my second question later.
Yeah, so basically, see, the gross margins, definitely, if you look at just on the basis of cost of raw material versus the sales, the higher end realization would be definitely 65% plus. But then what happens is that it takes time to actually establish the product completely. The designs, as you yourself said, that you have done a check with the competition, and competition itself is agreeing to the fact that Pokarna's designs are unique and are never seen before in the market. So it does take some time for us to actually roll out those products and see the complete potential. So, but if you look at on a Excel sheet, yes, definitely the gross margins on the high-end designs would be disproportionate to early higher than what we see on the lower end of it. But then the cycle times are relatively longer, so we are not able to completely see the benefit translating out at the EBITDA and the PAT level. But I think on the gross margin levels, yes, once the complete range is out, which is still not, because when we launch such type of design, there's a huge sampling program which happens, which also means that we are investing a significant amount of money in developing samplings. That's also part of the entire margin profile. So that is also an element of impact on it. Once I think those items get neutralized, the initial launch expenses get adjusted, the real picture would come out. So I think wait for a quarter or so, you will really see how the difference of realization is actually coming out.
I'd also like to add that in the market, you cannot just put only high-end products without fulfilling the all sets of customers that are available. Every customer has to keep variety of products, low, medium to high. So when we introduce this new high-end products, it takes little time for customers to go to the architects, go to the builders and convince them that these products are very good, and the cycle time is actually longer. It can take from 6 months to 1 year by the time your numbers go up, because the demand will come up once it is being used and people see the products in use. So you must have little patience, and we have to have a proportionate mix of the product range, you know.
Sir, I am there with you and I totally appreciate this. From where I'm coming from is that your product mix is improving. The value add is now 15%, whereas what it was earlier. So there is no reason for your overall realization to drop such a significant way that the gross margins dip by 1500 basis points in one quarter. So that is where I was coming from. But if you say that there have been a lot of samples also. Yeah,
I said at the beginning of the call also on this, that don't look at this now as a quarter specific stuff. Look at it as overall. If you look at the overall gross margins per 45, now we are talking at 40. So we are admitting that there is a 10% decline that has happened for various reasons. So when you look at the quarters to come, you will see the full benefit of gross margins getting restored once we see the complete cycle out of the new products and the launch expenses and everything are neutralized.
So, you know, on one side, you're asking us to look at a very, on a yearly basis, but on the other side, you yourself are saying that we should look at things quarter on quarter in terms of how things are panning out.
Now, that I said was relative only to the revenue thing, because somebody had a very specific question, what would be the annual revenue? So I said I cannot give you an annual revenue. So I'm really currently focused more on margin protection than doing a distressed sale of just going around selling things. So I think let's put the context right there.
Sure. Okay, I take it. My second question is on the domestic side. You know, can you help us in terms of what is the kind of sales we can expect in the next 2-3 years? Let's say FY25. This year, last year was the year when you were seeding it. This year things could stabilize. And in FY25, is there a number we could look at in terms of these numbers for the domestic side coming in from contract?
Yeah, so basically we do have a plan as to what we want to do in next 3 years. So our target is that in next 3 years, we want to at least have 10% plus of our revenue coming out of domestic market. So we are working on it aggressively. I think next year or plus, you will see that we are towards that.
In percentage terms, I can tell you our targeted business should be doubling domestic market business every year. That is the bare minimum growth that we expect to do from the existing business.
So, sir, is it possible for you to help us with the absolute number, let's say in FY26? Is it a 50 crore number possible or a 100 crore number possibility?
So, if we are able to get to 1,000 crores number there on the overall business, at least 100 crores should come from our domestic number is what we are targeting in next 3 years.
Sure. And what my understanding from the previous interaction is that these margins in this business would be far better on the EBITDA side than what is just for the current business. Is that a right presumption?
Because it also depends upon what type of channel you are penetrating. If you are penetrating it, because there are different channels in even domestic market. You have a retail segment where you are doing a complete end-to-end solution, and then you have your institutional segments where sometimes you do end-to-end solution or sometimes you are just part of the process that you just apply the raw material and then do the processing. So if we are doing more of a retail part of it, the realization would be better because it's a service component which gets added. But if it is a pure slab sale, compared to the value added, it would be lower.
But it would still be better than the overall company margins?
In some pockets, but not completely.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kushagra from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Few questions. One is, so if you can give some color on the market share and how the market size is, because overall quads import data is not very optimistic, and there seems to be something. I mean, you already mentioned value-added segment doing well, and Kokana is large into the value-added segment. So if you can size the market, give some market divide between mass products and value-added segment, and how Kokana's market share have fared between the two, broadly, broad color.
If you really look at how the entire portfolio of around $1.5 billion of U.S. market imports annually, you would see that in our estimate, because we don't have complete access to what each of it is coming from different countries. Today, it's not just India. It is Philippines, Thailand, Malaysia, Cambodia, Indonesia, apart from your U.S., Europe, U.S. home manufacturing, Turkey, and some part is, I'm told, that coming up in Yugoslavia, some in Mexico. We don't know. So there are several, but I'm looking at a $1.5 billion total market, import market on the absolute number basis. So in that, typically our guesstimate is that around 50% of that is actually at the currently the lowest bottom product side of it, where you have mass market consumption products, which are typically a substitute for granite, like as Mr. Jain said in the recent past. Granite has given a lot of market share to quartz because of various reasons. One is also because the price points were similar to what granite was in the previously offered. And of course, you're offering a superior product, better to fabricate, better to use. So that helps again that. And out of the balance 50%, what is left, we believe that around 30% is again the middle segment of the portfolio, and 20% is the higher end of the entire spectrum. So our overall share currently, if you look at in this 1.5 billion of import, we are talking about 700 crores coming out of India from us there, largely. So we are talking about, let us say, less about around 5% of the total imports is what we are saying we are a part of that. So we are not in the rat race of giving the quantities. We are now focused more with the new capabilities what we have in our unit 2, which is in Hyderabad, where we produce a very high-end value products. So our focus is now actually to take a larger space in that 20%, which is a high-end value product currently, and take a major share out there with our partners.
Got it. So effectively, to understand this, since you're not present in the 50% of it, you're largely targeting, your target segment is 50% of the other, which is middle market and the higher end. You are essentially around 11-12% of the market share.
We are operating in the 50, as Mr. Jain said, that we have to look at the entire picture and take the largest shelf space from the customer. While we will continue to be there at 50, we will definitely focus on the 30 and the 20 and focus more on the 20 so that overall realization improves.
Got it. Sure. And second, can you also give some color in terms of your, channel partners relationship? Because just trying to, and if also if you can give some numbers around it, for example, how many channel partners are there, what's the concentration, like top five would be forming majority of your sales, if yes, how much, and in this year particularly, or sorry, in this quarter particularly, and going forward here on, have you sort of seen consolidation or your channel partners giving you more business, so you have become larger in their overall ecosystem?
It again depends upon customer to customer, because every customer has different relationship. But I can touch wood tell you that the relationships what we have established several years ago continue to be the strong relationships. But every time you compete on the design, so if your design, because like it is annual introduction, some, for some companies it is a quarterly introduction as well. So if your designs are far better than others, you typically end up getting a larger portfolio of that season. So while I cannot give you the absolute numbers for reasons, because I see many times our competition also joins the call, so I'll not be able to talk much about it, but I can tell you that relationships are intact, new relationships are getting added, and we are up for exciting times.
Right. Any number you would like to call out, like you're working with X number of channel partners, or top five would
basically, be? Basically, we work with double digit, I could say that.
I can only tell you that we continue to work with each and every customer that we started the business with from the day one. That shows how deep our relationships are. And today we can tell you proudly that every company recognizes that we focus more on quality of the product, innovation in the product, and quality in service. And that's what keeps us keeps the relationships going more stronger day by day. So now with the market scenario, we should never forget that we cannot just feed the customer what we want to feed with. We have to always continue to satisfy customers with their request and the product that they want to satisfy their end customers. So it is a mix. We have to keep on continuing with this mix.
Got it. So just sorry for harping on this point, just last point question on this is, you would have also grown, because you maintained so good relationship over so many years, you would have also grown with few of them becoming really large. Any percentage would you like to call out, let's say top five channel partners would be forming 50-60-70% of your revenues?
I think Kushagra, I gave much more than I could have given with everybody,
okay,
including our competition.
Sure. Last question, on the competitive intensity, I remember you mentioned last time that you've seen some capacity building up, right? So just trying to understand like how do you see or how much of the capacity build-up you are seeing in the market? And because the differentiation also lies in the designs, how tough or easy it would be for someone, you know, to copy the good selling designs and make it a little more commoditized? How are you seeing that thing panning out?
The capacity build-up is happening as the industry matures and grows. I think every country would have the capacity addition for any product line, and quartz is no different. So we are seeing capacity build-up happening in India. We are seeing also it happening in other parts of the world and even in the U.S. But then I think if you look at players in the market, the serious players in the market, there are really very few who actually have survived through thick and thick of the industry cycle. Because I think most of the capacity build-up is happening at the lower end of that 50% what I was talking about to you.
Mm.
And getting into the 20% takes really serious efforts, and it's a journey. You have to experience it. No manufacturer can give you on a plate saying that, okay, you can produce this from tomorrow. Even what Bretont gave us, we've taken the journey from what they gave us to what we did. There is a complete paradigm shift. So it takes a lot of time to develop a product, train the people, get into the market, and above all, you should have a taste to understand what product would sell in the market. So it's not like a porcelain business that you pick up some design and you print and just sell it. So there are a lot of ifs and buts, and industry is also getting a lot of new technology coming up. So handling the technology, having right set of people, right set of customers to buy that product, it takes time. So I don't think we are deterred by competition growing up in the geographies we operate, whether on manufacturing or the selling side of it. So I think we are pretty good on that.
Sure. And thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I'll now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. Look forward to catching up on Q1 FY24 call. Thank you. Have a lovely day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Pokarna Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.